Do you want to learn how to passively prospect and get clients while you're sleeping? Well, if that's you, then you need to listen to this next podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenzano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast. You have my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good today. How are you doing, my friend?
Always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is a speaker, coach, and CEO of Passive Prospecting. In 2021, he partnered with Travis Plum, and together they created the fastest-growing YouTube channel in Dallas, Texas. They have achieved massive success with over 164 transactions, $90 million in production, and $2.7 million in commissions from their channel. Without any ad spend, you know. Organic. It's an amazing thing. So, without further ado, Levi Lasik, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it is our pleasure. Let's get to know each other a little bit. Please share with us your background and how you got started in business.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's I went to a small town. I grew up in Stephenville, Texas, about 2 hours south of Dallas. If you're not milking cows or riding bulls, there's really not much else to do there. Maybe you could throw in drinking beer, you know.
Sounds like a wholesome neighborhood, my kind of place.
Yeah, there you go. And we lived in a dry county, so you had to drive 20 minutes to the county line where there was a liquor store literally right on the county line. So that's where we'd have to go on Friday and Saturday nights to get our beer. And it was funny, you know, I got out of high school.
Fake ID or no fake ID?
Well, you know, if you went past the county line to like, there's this really old shop about 5 more miles down the road, this 80-year-old man worked it that never checked a single ID. So we just walked in there, you know, 16, 17 years old and would buy a beer all the time.
Dude, we all have one of those. We had Mohammed, who was like 15 minutes outside the town in a little gas station. That's just how
Mohammed
it went down,
wanted
man.
His palms
Small town America.
That's all Mohammed wanted, right? He wanted with the Benjamins, <That's it>. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that was it. You know, I worked about a year after high school until I realized, you know, stocking shelves, mopping floors. And then I realized, okay, I can't do this because that's how everybody else in my hometown ends up is, you know, doing minimum wage labor jobs typically for the rest of their lives, unless they work on a ranch or something. So, you know, that was something I did what most country boys do. And I joined the military. Thought, well, let me get out of here. I thought this was pretty cool. This was 1999. So the world was at peace. You know, the last Gulf War was 9 years earlier, ended in 8 days. And so I thought, well, nobody's ever going to mess with us again, right? And so I thought I could go in, get some money for college. And then, of course, 2 years later, September 11th happened. And then shortly after that, after I got out of the military, I returned back. But instead of going back to Stephenville, I went to Dallas. And I just remember I worked a couple of labor jobs there, ran into this guy, Michael Reese. I called a gym, actually, called a Bally Total Fitness. And this guy named Michael Reese answered the phone and got me in the gym and sold me the most expensive membership with personal training, all this crazy stuff. And I couldn't afford it. And I was still dead broke, but, you know, he's a good salesperson. And anyways, I lost my job and went back to him to try to cancel my membership, but he signed me up on a 3-year contract. And so he ended up recruiting me to sell gym memberships. So that's where I got my first taste of sales in working in a gym, because gyms back then, at least, were not gyms. They were sales organizations. And we learned, you know, hardcore closing. I mean, long hours. We worked 12 hours a day. It was a lot, making phone calls. And he took me to my first Brian Tracy event. That's where I learned, started to actually discover.
It wasn't cheap back then either. It was like $65 a month for Bally's. Bally's was
Yeah. 65, 70, like yeah. 75 was a top tier. And I mean, that's like common these days. You go to a gym today and you're like $75 a month. Oh, that's cheap. You know, back then it was super expensive.
Yeah.
Especially for a 21-year-old with no money. So, you know, that was it. He introduced me to Brian Tracy, all this stuff. He got licensed in 2002, actually, in real estate, and wanted me to become an agent then, but I just wasn't interested in it. So, you know, fast forward about 2 years later, I was still in the reserves, got a call, you know, ended up getting activated and deployed. I was gone for 18 months, spent 12 months over in Iraq, and whenever I came back, I basically got into selling cell phones. That transitioned into pharmaceuticals. That transitioned into my own company with financial services.
Dude, come on. Is this a joke?
No.
Is this a joke right now? This is my exact background. Dude, I worked at Radio Shack and then did business-to-business cell phone sales and worked for a pharmaceutical company. This is like stupid. I thought Gino was setting me up right now. Is this like
bro, I'm going to leave the conversation real? Right now.
This is real? Okay, sir, I'm sorry. Please go back to you're at pharmaceuticals. This is getting weird. Go ahead.
Well, when I got out, I sold cell phones at Costco. You know that little booth inside Costco?
Oh, yeah. Kiosk sales, baby.
Yeah, that was me. And then from there, I got recruited to a pharmaceutical company. And did that for almost 8 years, and then went into my own company with financial services. So I started working with teachers on their retirement planning. So I had a very captive market in Dallas, because once you get approved to, you know, work with teachers on retirement, that's a very small number of people that get approved to do that. And so I would work with them on payroll deductions, retirement plans, you know, things like that. And that was going really well for the last 5 years. And I had a teacher schedule, but five times the teacher's income. So I was working 8 months a year and traveling the world. I went to 24 countries inside of 3 years, making the most money I'd ever made. And then, you know, 2020 of April, the world shut down, right? The schools shut down, everything closed down, and my business, you know, shut down, because I used to meet with teachers on campus. Nobody was thinking about investing, you know, saving money. They were starting to call me how to pull out money, you know, liquidate their accounts, all kinds of stuff. And I just didn't know, when are schools going to open back up? When's the world going to open back up? So that's where the transition happened. Over the summer of 2020, instead of watching Tiger King, I went into research mode, you know, which was, what's my next move? Plus, I was 41 at the time. So I was like, well, how do I start over without starting over? That was my biggest fear, really, you know, especially in the middle of a pandemic when everything's closed down. First of all, I'm not going to get a job regardless, because now I've tasted owning my own business. But at the same time, nobody was hiring anyways. So that was out. And I was just like, what am I really interested in? What do I want to do? It was not being a real estate agent, I'll tell you that. So the irony of that. But Michael and I have been friends for the last 20 years, and he's always tried to periodically get me into real estate. And this time I finally started to listen and wonder, okay, well, I started over the summer 2020. Real estate was the only industry that was really growing other than toilet paper sales. So I thought, well, maybe if I'm going to make a move, you know, into real estate, this would be the time to do it. But I didn't want to be like everybody else. Plus, I didn't want to have to compete with all the top agents and brokers in Dallas. It's a huge market to jump into. And I also didn't want to spend a ton of money. I didn't want to, you know, I was like, how do I market myself? How do I brand myself in a pool of seasoned agents, brokers that have been here 15, 20, 25 years, and how am I going to get a piece of the pie, and how can I attract business? So those were the questions I was asking myself. Plus, what I realized before as well is that all my previous jobs or businesses had been dependent on me. And so whenever any outside force came into play and kind of removed me from the equation, you know, my business stopped. Or if I was in sales, like, you know, pharmaceuticals or cell phones, you go to bed, you wake up the next day, guess what? You're back at zero again, right? Cell phones don't really sell themselves. Pharmaceuticals don't sell themselves. And so in even meeting with clients one-on-one in financial services, that had to be me every single day. And so that was a different mindset coming into this as well, as I was like, I do not want to get caught up being a solo agent. Not even from the beginning, I started to just ask myself different questions, which is, how am I going to, first of all, you know, attract business? Is there a way to attract business so that I'm not putting output out there as far as phone calls and door knocks and shaking hands and kissing babies? And then second of all, how do I scale it as quickly as possible? Basically, how do I remove myself from the equation as soon as possible so that I have a business versus just a solo practice? You know, so those were just the questions I asked myself over the summer of 2020, and just started to do a lot of research. And once I felt like I had a plan, then I decided to move into real estate, versus where I think a lot of people will get into real estate and then they're like, all right, what's the next step? Where do we go from here? And I just was like, let me reverse that order. You know, because what I realized is at 41, I wasn't starting over. I was starting with, you know, 20 years of sales and marketing experience in my back pocket. I just had to apply it in a different manner. And, you know, and this time I didn't want to get caught up in that, you know, it's all dependent upon me type of situation.
Levi, how has sales changed over the last 20 years? Because I would say 20 years ago, your buddy sold you unethically. He sold you something you didn't need. He ripped you off and he put you in a 3-year contract.
Damn, Gino's going for the jugular.
And you know what? 20 years later, sales is completely, I mean, like, you can go online right now. Everyone feels as if they see it coming. And we employ the FIT, Find Impact Together, the same side selling. And I think that's revolutionized what we're doing, because we're not going to sign somebody up if you're not a fit with the Jake and Gino community. If not, you know what? Do you know anybody else? We want to leave you in a better spot. Whereas 20 years ago, that's what it sounds like you've transitioned into. Can you talk about that journey a little bit? Because cell phones, pharmaceuticals, they're really tough. It's a tough environment. You need to sell. You need to get out there. I got my boy over here from Western New York whose story is very similar to yours. He wasn't milking cows. I don't know
what the
hell
he was doing. Do you have a cell phone? We're potato farmers, Gino. Okay, represent. All right.
He would not let you out of Radio Shack without upselling you some kind of shit that you didn't need, whether it's a
very
fucking plug-in thing or whatever. So that's not how it is nowadays. And people feel that they're waiting for the upsell. They're like, they want to buy, they don't want to be sold. That's what I think is the big transition. I mean, if you want to expand on that a little bit before we jump into passive prospecting, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. I feel like Michael ripped me off all those years ago.
So, damn it, Mike.
You know, yeah, I think he's definitely a much better person now. But back then, that was you ever seen the movie The Boiler Room? It was yes. Boiler Room tactics, right? It was get the sale done at all cost and also start at the very top. It doesn't matter who your customer is. Start at the top, sell them the most expensive thing, and you back your way down from there.
And they would shame you if you didn't. Yeah. It'd be like, dude, didn't sell the top. You suck. You loser, right?
Let me ask you, is the internet pretty much stopped a lot of that? Because you can go online right now and bash somebody. 20 years ago, you couldn't go online and say, Michael is an ass. He's ripped me off. There's no recourse. 20 years ago, now there's a little bit more recourse. I think that's one of the really big advantages of having the internet around nowadays.
Well, absolutely. And also, if you're going to be speaking or attending events or things like that, I mean, that's what I talk with our team all the time is I'm like, look, we have to treat people like people, first of all. I mean, they're people. And so if I'm going to be going to events, which last year in 2022, I went to 25 events. And I spoke at half of them. I said, what I fear the most is going to an event and somebody saying, man, you suck, or your company sucks, or your customer service sucks, or your product sucks. That's what I don't want to hear. And so, you know, we're always working on and tweaking and building the concept of community and also showing up every single week, you know, for our community and anybody that becomes a client of ours. Then we're also making sure that we try to give them zero excuses to ever say that they feel like we let them down. You know, that's the whole goal. You know, I tell people all the time, I will not quit on you if you don't. Now, I can't force people to do things, but they also can't say I didn't show up. So even whenever I travel, I'm at events, I will still do everything in my power to maintain the same live trainings, the same calls, the same, you know, things. And we do a lot of live stuff every week. So we host actually 4 live calls per week, 5 live calls. And that's hard to do when you're in different time zones. You know, I was in Hawaii 2 weeks ago speaking at a conference, and I'm like, at 5 in the morning, I was running 5 in the morning Hawaii time. I was running a live call because that was, you know, our Central Standard Time. And instead of disrupting the community, I would rather just get up and, you know, and get up and do it. And so it's one of those types of things where communication and showing up every week is something that we really do focus on. And because that's what we're looking for now, I can't stop everything. And, you know, we've had our fair share of some people, you know, bashing us here and there, but it's all good. I know it's unjustified or, you know, sometimes there's just those types of people out there, but our goal is to continually provide value and leave a good taste in people's mouths.
Can you define what passive prospecting means to you and to the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think everyone loves the idea of passive income. I think it's why we're all business owners or entrepreneurs, is because passive income really means freedom. So whether that is a huge lump sum in the bank or reoccurring revenue, we're working to this point to where hell, you could even consider Social Security passive income, but as entrepreneurs, we don't want that, right? Because that's like the very bare minimum you can get to. Although my dad literally just retired at 70 to maximize his Social Security, you know? So that was freedom to him because now he can do what he wants. So I think that's what we're all working towards. But we know it's a catch 22 because passive income takes a ton of work up front, right? And usually years or decades. Now, some may achieve it sooner rather than others, but it still takes a lot of work up front. And that usually comes with a lot of prospecting, right? A lot of prospecting to find clients and customers to build your business. Well, I'm just saying, what if you could just, you know, pacify or passively prospect and to get you to the passive income as well? And that's where video comes in, and that's where we built out this whole strategy, and that's what the book that's coming out on March 7th talks about, is passive prospecting. That video, in my opinion, is the true 4-hour work week. I mean, that is something that not only makes you time, it compounds your time. So if you take one video, for example, it took me 30 minutes to make one video. Well, if you look at the watch time on that video, it's over 11,000 hours on YouTube. You divide that by 24 hours in a day, that's almost 1.5 years worth of time. So that video has prospected, in my opinion, 1.5 years just for my 30-minute investment. So that's the same thing as investing your money. Anytime you invest your money into something, your number one question is usually, what's going to be the return of my money, right? What's the percentage? What am I going to get? What's it going to compound at? What can I look at in 5, 10, or 20 years? Well, look at the same thing on a video. All video is sales at scale. So the problem with most, I'm in the real estate agent business. The problem is most real estate agents never retire because they get caught up in a transactional world. You know, they get caught up into the whole, I have to do everything. Well, if you're doing that every day you wake up, you're starting over again. And if you're making phone calls, when you hang up the phone, your lead generation stops. You know, if your lead generation is tied directly to you, you don't have a business, you have a job. And that's why I think a lot of business owners, not just agents, but business owners, entrepreneurs, get in trouble a lot with the family, right? Because you know, they feel guilty about taking time off because they're not doing revenue generating activities, right? They're not prospecting, they're not finding their next client or their next customer. But you know, we've been on the road for 3 weeks now and just got back, and guess what? Our phones kept ringing, the email inbox was full, the text messages were coming in. Why? Because we have a library of videos out there that are me, a clone of me. You want more people of yourself? You're like, man, I wish I could just find another me. Well, put yourself on video, and guess what you're doing? You're out there selling every single day. And the thing is that whatever you do one-to-one, phone calls, door knocking, shaking hands, kissing babies, you will only ever reach one person at one time. The only other thing you can do other than video is to speak on a stage, you know, to be able to reach a mass crowd at one time. But my video can be viewed by 10, 20, 100, 1,000 people at one time. I don't even care if you have a team of inside sales callers. They'll never be able to match the power of a video once it starts to take off. And so whatever your product or service is, in the small business world, you know, you could sell t-shirts. If you sold t-shirts, you could create content, create videos about how do you make t-shirts, you know, what to do, how do you market. I mean, you could build a whole channel around that. And guess what? That's going to be marketing for you. Instead of going out there trying to, you know, knock on business doors to sell your t-shirts, you document everything you do in the business, how you make them, the designs. If you're the artist, art is one of the biggest things that is viewed on, you know, YouTube. And so just documenting.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking at much art.
Yeah. Watching people draw, you know, design, build, create.
No shit.
Anything like that is a huge draw. People are fascinated by it. And it's the same way if you're a financial advisor, if you're an electrician, if you're a plumber. I mean, I've got a friend here in Dallas. He's a plumber with over 500,000 subscribers.
Now that I understand.
Yeah.
And all nobody does, likes plumbing, man.
Yeah. And all he does is talk about clogged plumbing, you know? Now here's the thing. The funny thing is that his name is Roger. He told me, you know, he makes more money off of endorsements now versus his plumbing business. He's sponsored by Lowe's and Home Depot because of his audience on YouTube. Now, most people don't get to that. I'm not sponsored by anybody, but I'm also in a very high ticket item, you know, real estate. So what I do is provide value on video. And what happens is people call me. I mean, I make maybe $800 a month from YouTube on the revenue. Okay, that pays a couple of bills, but we make, you know, multiple six figures a month in real estate commissions because people find the videos find value in that. And then they call us and they're like, look, man, you're our person, right? The video develops the relationship for us. And so whenever they call us, they've decided that they already want to work with us. So as an agent, it takes all the selling out of it. The video is passively prospecting nonstop. It's doing the prospecting. And not only that, it's building the relationship with the client, which is even better because they come to us with that relationship already established. So
one step bigger than that is you're creating a brand. You're building a brand, yeah, which people don't understand. Brand is the biggest ROI. It's the longest and the hardest to do. When you're creating a piece of content and a video, what do you need to focus on that content video or that piece to really have, whether it's a call to action or the, what should we be thinking of? Okay, I'm in front of the camera, never really done this before. I'm a little scared, I'm a little nervous. What do I need to do to engage the audience, or to, should I have a call to action? What is my the framework that I should be worrying about when I create a video?
Yeah, I mean, definitely want a call to action, but mainly the number one thing is you want to put yourself in your viewer's shoes. You want to put yourself in the mind of your potential client or customer or avatar, whatever it is you want to call that. So you want to think about, what do they want? What are they looking for? What are they searching? And the great thing about YouTube is YouTube is owned by Google. YouTube's the second largest search engine in the world. And guess what? They tell you what people are searching for. So whatever it is your product or service is, then people are searching that one way or another. Now, and you make it 100% value driven. So I've never made a video introducing myself as a Dallas, Texas real estate agent. I can help you buy, sell, or invest, because that's typically the first video you'll see on any agent's channel. But in my opinion, that's a premature sales pitch, and that's what everybody else does.
Well, that's the Levi of 20 years ago, right? Levi of 20 years ago is, I am, bro, here. I am here to sell you, but you don't do that nowadays. Great. Sure. Excellent distinction. Thank you.
Yeah, just like, I mean, look at postcards and billboards and magazine ads. What is it? I mean, how much value can be provided in that? It's hardly any, if any. And what does it usually say? Top, you know, Dallas top real estate agent, you know, call me to buy, sell, or invest, or here's the last three properties I sold. I mean, what does that really help somebody? That's why print and ad, you know, those types of things take a lot of money and a long period of time. You can send somebody 1,000 postcards and they'll probably call you after that. But it, you know, that cost you 50 cents a postcard up to that point. You had to spend $5,000 over 8 months to get them in the first place. And most people can't do that, and that'll put them out of business. So it's 100% value driven. It's, what are they searching for? What are they looking for? And yes, you do incorporate calls to action in there, but it's added in there as a value add, which is, hey, you know, to me, it's like, by the way, if you're thinking about making that move, give me a call, shoot me a text, send me an email. Very simple, just like that. But you do need to direct and tell people what to do. Otherwise, they may not do it. They could watch all of your videos, and if you never tell them to call you, people will likely not call you. So you do want to factor that in. You just don't want to open up with, hey, my name's Levi, I'm a Dallas real estate agent, call me to buy, sell, or invest, send me a text, blah, blah. You know, you start out with that, people are going to come on, they're probably going to jump off the video. But if they come on the video and I'm like, hey, so you're thinking about buying a home in Frisco, Texas, you know, which is a particular suburb of Dallas. Within that one line, somebody is either shaking their head yes or shaking their head no. They're either, yeah, I am thinking about buying a home in Frisco. And if they are, guess what? They're very likely to continue watching that video, because now I just said what they're thinking. If they're not, they're going to be like, no, I'm not Frisco. I'm actually looking in Plano. Let me see if this person has some Plano videos. And so they might go to the channel and search some other areas. And guess what? We've got videos on pretty much every suburb throughout Dallas. And so we cover the everything. And what I love about that too is Dallas is a large area, tons of suburbs, right? And I can't tell you how many times we've had people call in and say, hey, can you help us buy a house? And by the way, we've narrowed it down to two areas based on your videos. You know, so it also saves us a lot of time, energy, and effort versus somebody coming into town saying, well, I know absolutely nothing. Can you just drive me around for the next 5 days, right? So
and you have to have a ton of like California fly-ins, right? So yeah. you got a lot of people that are going to be there for the first time. You're shortening their learning curve and exposure. Mm-hmm. So that's providing a ton of value, I'm guessing, yeah?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
How long typically do you want to have videos go for, number one? And I've got a couple questions on as far as the video formation, but how long typically do you like to have a video go for?
As long as it needs to be. So that means you want to provide enough information to get the point across, and you don't want to over talk it. So if you hit the 12-minute mark and you're like, oh, I'm trying to make a 20-minute video, don't do that. I would never put a time limit on yourself. Just say, what's the information and the value that's needed to be provided? And let me talk about it. If it's 12 minutes and 38 seconds, that's how long the video is. You know, if it's 18 minutes and 32 seconds, okay, no problem. But don't sit there and say, okay, well, I gotta, let me sit here and BS for another 8 minutes just to try to drag it out.
That's, if anything, go the other way, right? Get to the point and don't waste people's time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Levi, why don't more people do this? I mean, YouTube's out there. People post a lot of stupid crap on YouTube, but there isn't a lot of really great. I mean, I could care less about cats. I could care less about people drawing art. I mean, honestly, there's so much useless stuff on there. Why aren't more people, especially agents, they should be their own brand. Are they afraid to get in video? They don't know how to do video. They don't know how the sales process works. I mean, what are some of the pitfalls and challenges that your students have when getting on and not even thinking about, I should have been doing this 6 months ago?
Yeah, I think it's all of those. I think that there's a lot of noise in Facebook, Instagram, TikTok right now. And so everybody thinks that's where they should be, but those are interruption platforms. You know, the last time I checked, nobody said, hey, it's time to buy a house. Let's go on Facebook and see what's on the market. But that's where most agents default to number one, run ads, and number two, post content. And there's almost zero organic reach on Facebook now these days. So you have to pay to play on there. But I think a lot of people, you know, and you listen to a lot of Facebook, Instagram, and TikTokers right now, even in the agent space, and you listen to their origin story, a lot of them are kind of like, well, I just started posting videos and then something took off, you know, and that's very rare. I think very few, I think the 20 and the 30 year olds do a better job of this than the 40 year olds and above, which is understanding the platform. You know, what makes it work? What drives it? Is it search? Yeah. So you have to understand the back end of the platform. And YouTube is built on SEO, analytics, you know, all kinds of things. It's probably the most complex platform, but there's just not a lot of noise around it. So I think people put it to their, you know, last on the list. And in my opinion, it's the best conversion, because long form content is the best form of conversion out there, you know, because it takes time for people to consume content, build a relationship with you. That's very difficult to do in 30-second videos, especially on platforms whenever they're not there intentionally looking for that information, you know? So they might see your ad or they might see you posting content, but they may not be in the market for 18, 24, 36 months. But people going on YouTube are intentional. They're in the process. They're starting to search. They're like, okay, what's it like to live in Dallas? What's it like to live in the suburbs? What are the suburbs? You know, so they start searching those particular things to be educated on YouTube and to watch long form content. And everybody says that attention spans are dead these days, which is why you're supposed to be a dancing real estate agent on TikTok. But that's not the case. When people are in research mode, which they do get in that mode whenever they're thinking about making a move, then guess what? They're going to take time and watch videos.
Have some respect for yourself, folks, for crying out loud. Yeah. Seriously. How are you going to look in the mirror after that shit? Come on. I don't know about that.
Before we go to the short answer questions and the performance questions, what mistakes do you see people making on YouTube that you can say, hey, stop doing that. That's not working. Your video's not going to trend. We want you to add more subscribers or more likes to it. What mistakes do you see?
Yeah, just posting without a plan. I mean, just uploading videos, inconsistency, you know, getting all recorded one video and I'm super excited, so I'm going to upload it right now. And then guess what? The next 2 or 3 weeks is going to get in the way. I'm going to make excuses and then I don't post anything for a month. And guess what? I lose any momentum, if I even gain momentum. And then I'm out of the mood. I don't have the muscle memory. I have to start over from scratch. You know, it's what it is. It's not treating YouTube like a business, because if you treat YouTube like a hobby, it's going to pay you like a hobby. If you treat it like a business, it'll pay you like a business. These platforms are very powerful. And I know agents successful on the other ones, so not to knock them entirely. I know people that are doing well, but at the same time, they understand the platforms. And so just posting, I do believe in taking action, but I do believe you need a little bit of a plan in place first. Don't get stuck in analysis paralysis, but study, make a plan, and then start to execute on that plan, but understand those types of things. And I researched YouTube for about 2 months before I ever started recording a video. And then whenever I recorded, I didn't even publish right away. So I literally built out a business plan based on everything that I learned. And I believe you can hyper learn any subject in 60 days. So with the amount of information out there, books, YouTube, blogs, Clubhouse, you know, all these apps, you can hyper learn any subject. And I think if you want to be the best postcard marketer on the planet, you can do that right now, because number one, most agents don't study it. And if you studied it for the next 60 days, you'll probably be more proficient than 99% of your competition. So, you know, understand it, what makes it work, what, you know, how often to do it, when you should do it, what days of the week, you know, all those types of things matter. And so you need to understand that.
I think the key to what you just said was the consistency, though, because you could have studied for 2 months. A lot of people quit at that point. You recorded a few videos, didn't post them. A lot of people, okay, would have flailed around and quit at that point. Then you started posting, and then you consistently posted and you stuck with it. That's the difference, I think, a lot of times between success and failure in this space, because it's a little weird. It feels weird putting this shit out there, but I think that consistency is a key. So congrats on that.
Thanks. Well, what I like about YouTube is nobody knows, right? mean, unless they're searching for you, which your friends and family are not searching for you on YouTube. I think a lot of people, that's their reluctancy with, you know, Facebook, Instagram, because all their friends are friends with them on those platforms. So as soon as they start posting something about their business, somebody, one person says something, and they're kind of like, oh, well, my Uncle Bob said I look silly, you know? And so I don't know if I want to do that. Well, nobody knew I was on YouTube.
It got too personal for them.
Yeah. Nobody knew I was on YouTube until I was cool, you know? And then all of a sudden when I became cool, everyone was like, oh, you got a YouTube channel? Wow. That's amazing. You know? But otherwise I was incognito. I was literally the undercover agent. You know, I was, you know, my next door neighbor listed their house with a different agent. I wasn't upset because it really wasn't the market I was targeting. I'm not going to my neighbor, you know, every day trying to build a relationship and drink beer with them. And so hopefully one day when they decide to sell, they'll pick me. That's just not my market. So, but guess what? Everybody moving into Dallas, coming, you know, around, they were calling us because we were the people on YouTube, you know, with the top performing channel, the most views, and just build up to that. And so that's our market, and that's who I'm going after. And every single person called us, you know, we did zero outbound.
Hey man, nothing wrong with a guilt or a pity listing, Gino. Okay. You can take a couple, right?
I was going to say the old Levi was going to go sell his neighbor a cell phone or some pharmaceutical. New Levi's like, I'm too cool for school. If he wants to work for me, great. If not, I've got a YouTube channel. That's awesome. I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
A question Gino and I get a lot is, what's a great value add?
You've just closed a deal and you're looking for a way to maximize the attractiveness of your complex to potential renters.
At Rand Property Management, we start at the bottom. Literally, we start with the flooring.
And that means we start with a call to Christian Chapman and his team at David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring. No one wants to deal with the expense and hassle of putting in new floors, and that is exactly why we turn to David's Abbey.
David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring provides a quality, long-lasting product at a great price. The wear layer and waterproofing that comes standard with all David Abbey products will ensure you are on solid ground for years to come.
My favorite part of working with Christian and his team is convenience. David's Abbey will direct ship their product anywhere in the U.S., That's white glove service, folks.
And your installation team will love how easy it is to install. The next time that you're looking for a great value add, give our friends at David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring a call and speak with Christian.
Or click the link in the show notes to visit their website today.
All right, guys, we are back. Let's talk about scale a little bit. Very quickly, you scaled your company up. What are some best tips for scaling the business?
Yeah, outsource yourself as soon as possible. So it's, you know, for me in YouTube, I had an editor from the very beginning. So that was something. I didn't have a marketing budget, but I had an editing budget. So outsourcing that, so I wasn't tied up into editing for a day or two after I shot one video. It allowed me to move on and film the next video or work on my next business. You know, bringing in a VA or an assistant, or, you know, just starting to piece that stuff together. As soon as you make any type of money, I believe you should start looking at bringing in people or upgrading your systems or processes. Because if you have to do anything twice in your business, you need a system, a process, a campaign, or a trigger to do that. So make sure you have a good CRM with automations, you know, where you can automate 90% of your communication. You know, you still need that person-to-person touch and oversight. but you want to automate all that. So anytime somebody needs to be referred to a lender, you know, go on property alerts, goes under contract, anything like that, all your automations, text, emails, everything is built out so that you're not doing that every single time. So the first thing would be probably automate your CRM to the best of your ability. Because that's, you know, that's going to cost you $100 or $200 a month, probably depending on the CRM you use. And that's the easiest thing to automate. And then from there, as soon as you make any money, you should start looking at who do I bring on? Who's the next person I hire? I mean, and a lot of people just have apprehension about that or don't want to do that or don't want to spend the money, but it's the best money you can spend as far as either, whether it's a VA and, you know, an assistant, somebody, or if you have to bring somebody in-house locally, you know, start looking at doing those things. So I would pay yourself as minimal as possible for the first year or two, so that way any money over and above what you need for your living expenses and your savings, you can start, you know, implementing that into system processes and people. And that's what's going to help you scale.
So let's talk about that editor for a second, because I think people hear that and then they start to fill in the gaps for themselves. So was this person a 1099? Was this a full-time employee? Let's start there.
Yeah, they started out as a 1099. Yep.
Okay, so they had another business. And what was their background like? Because a lot of people are like, oh, I got to go find a YouTube-specific editor. And gang, this is not a lot of times how this stuff works out. So please share that story a little bit, like what their background was and how you forged the relationship.
It was actually, I found her on Fiverr. Her on Fiverr and just to help me with my social media in my financial services business. So we've been together now over 4 years, but she was just doing oddball jobs for me on social media, and she's US based. And that was funny. I saw her thumbnail on Fiverr, and sometimes those are bait and switch, you know, they put a nice, good looking American,
like,
on there.
Like, so Tinder, like,
oh,
right?
I'm going to get. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to get this cool American that's super cheap and they're going to help me out. And then
he swiped right, folks.
That's not the case. But yeah, she was the real deal, but she was still underpriced. I told her for several years, I'm like, you're way underpriced. Are you sure that's your price? And so she did social media. But every time I asked her, hey, can you do this? She was like, yeah, I can do that. I was like, hey, can you write copy? Yeah, I can do that. Can you, you know, edit photos? Yeah, I can do that. And then whenever I started this, I was like, hey, can you edit videos? And she's like, yeah, I can do that. And so she started out editing our videos. And then I was like, okay, what's it going to cost to do 3 videos a week, you know? And she gave me a price. I was like, cool. So then she started out as a contractor. It took about a year into it before we brought her on full time. And my question to her was, you know, what is it going to take to bring you on full time and buy you out of your other clients? Because I knew she worked with, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6 other people. But I was like, look, you know, let's get rid of them. Come to us full time. What's that going to take? She gave me a number, again, very reasonable. And so we brought her on full time.
He put a ring on it, Gino. So I think the other thing is she probably, you know, didn't nail it at first. There was some coaching along the way. Hey, let's try to make it look like this. And there was some, you know, different coaching that went on, and you guys worked together and grew it to where you wanted it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I just think that sometimes folks like hear that, oh, and then I hired the video editor, and it's like, well, is this like straight out of the box and this person did YouTube videos and that's what they're supposed to do? No, gang, a lot of times it's, you know, you look to your current community, you find people out there, you give them a shot, test and measure, and then these things grow over time. So it doesn't always happen right away. So I just want to, you know, kind of get clear on
and
that.
And Jake, for me to add something to that, we were at Ryan Serhant's Mastermind a couple weeks ago. And I mean, talk about the master of branding. He has dozens of people on the payroll. 1099ers. He has people just doing video. He has people doing short form, long form. So you start out with that one person, and as you grow, you continue to add.
That's right.
And the one question you need to ask yourself is, if you're thinking about hiring an editor, it's already too late. You already need the editor. So always think about that. And you're talking to Mr. Cheapo here. I give Jake all the credit here, because it's very difficult. It's very challenging as an entrepreneur to be the, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, the two Imas here suck at editing. We barely able to turn on Riverside. So when we found the idea to get an editor, that was one of the best hires you ever had to start editing the podcast. So if you're out there and you're asking yourself, do I need somebody to help me edit these videos or even shoot these videos for me? If the answer is yes, you need to go out and find somebody.
No, the answer is yes, Gino. So any book recommendations, anything you've read in the last year or two that's added value to your life that you want to share with the folks?
Yeah, I recommend Passive Prospecting on March 7th. That's whenever we release the book.
Dude, we got like 3 weeks, man.
Yeah, let's go. I'm not sure when this – are we live or is this going to be published later?
Oh, this is going to be published later.
Okay, cool. So yeah, hopefully around March 7th. And no, March 7th, we got the launch date. By the way, Ryan Serhant wrote the foreword for our book, so we're very excited about that. And that would be a good one.
Where do we go to get it?
Man, everywhere. Amazon, you know, Amazon. I mean, it may be in some Barnes & Nobles, I believe, but we'll have an Audible book as well that'll be coming out shortly afterwards. But no, it's a legit deal. I mean, it's pretty cool because, I mean, we have an actual publisher and working on a launch strategy. I'll be going live in our Facebook group. I'm going to be running a lot of contests and giveaways. We're going to try to ramp up, you know, those 5-star reviews as quickly as possible. So yeah, Amazon is going to be the best place. We're going to run the ebook on March 7th for $1.99. So if you buy the ebook, and just for this show, for you guys, we'll anybody that buys the ebook, I will autograph a copy and send it to them myself. And so they'll get a hard copy just for buying the ebook for $1.99 and sending me a screenshot of the 5-star review, and I'll send them a full copy. So we're going to be doing things like that. We're going to be giving away camera equipment, coaching sessions, all kinds of stuff to kind of ramp that up. So, but otherwise, I don't know. I've got all kinds of books. This is sitting on my desk right now. Ryan Pineda, Wealthy Way. And that's something else. Breathe is a book on, just mastering your emotions and things like that. That's a good one.
Is that the Mewing book?
Yeah, it's Gracie. One of the Gracies, yeah. One of those jiu-jitsu guys, you know.
Nice.
Something like that. So I'm always digging into something. I'm digging into $100 million offers right now there. So it's a little bit of everything. I mean, I think you just want to start somewhere. I think a real defining book early in my career was 48 Laws of Power before it became cool. I thought that was just a really interesting topic. But again, you know, a lot of that is talking about the good and the bad side of power. So that's
the shit you shouldn't be doing in the 48 Laws of Power. I'm having my 20-year-old son read that and say, if somebody's trying to do that shit to you, you understand it, but you don't do that shit to other people. It's a great book. I mean, it can be dark, and you can just see the evilness of other people, and it's just the ability to see people is in their best self-interest. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And it's really
It should just become Politics 101.
Yeah. Well, one of those chapters, it's funny because one of those chapters I remember specifically, which is Never Outshine the Master, right? Which is, you know, it's funny how you can work, and I've already experienced this myself too, especially when you release a course or, you know, a platform or something like that, all of a sudden you become a threat to other people who, you know, liked you until you had something that even though I'm like, dude, you're way far ahead of me. You know, I'm not competition for you, but it's just interesting. And so as soon as you do outshine somebody, you know, they're probably going to come after you. So just there's definitely some quality learnings, I think, in there. But overall, you know, I think pick up anything right now. Just depends, you know, mindset, motivation, if that's what you need. I'm not really I go to work every day. I don't need the motivation to do that. I'm a more practical, tactical type of person. So how to implement, which is what we focus on a lot in the book. That's what I like about it is the first 9 chapters are the passive prospecting principles. So I break down and really help people understand how video on YouTube is way more powerful than almost anything else you can do. And then the last 5 chapters are how to do it, you know, how to build out your channel, how to create content, how to do SEO, you know, the whole back end of it to make it work in the first place. And so that's what I'm really excited about is because it gives you the understanding of why it's important, but then also how to do it. And not a lot of books out there, especially on YouTube that I found. I read a lot of YouTube marketing books and they just kind of give you the generalities. And there's some good things in there. YouTube Secrets, I think, is a great book to help you understand the platform. But it doesn't really give you, okay, here's how you build out your channel. You know, here's how you do SEO. Here's how you do this. And so I think this will really make a huge impact in the industry on that.
He's expanding the brand, Gino. Very clear what's going on here. That's awesome. So we know we can get the book on Amazon. It's going to be out there everywhere. We're going to send autographed copies to the listeners. What's the best way if folks want to, you know, cannonball into the community, reach out, find out more about yourself? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can check us out on passiveprospecting.com. That's the easiest way. It's got links to anything that you need. You know, if you want to get involved in our coursework, we have that available. We also have a video editing agency now as well because I know that's a problem, not just for agents, but for small business owners in general. Just like you said, you asked earlier, it's difficult to find good quality people.
Is employee number one heading that up?
She is, actually.
Nice. Love it.
We actually just made her a partner in that business. So gave her an equity stake because she's built that up completely on her own. I mean, with some insight, a little bit of insight, but she's been the operator of that whole business. And so I thought it was only, right thing to do was to make her, an equity owner in that. And she heads up that whole division. We have a full staff of editors and managers to do that. We've got about 150 clients just in that right now. And they do turnkey. They do turnkey for YouTube. So whatever your business is, whether you're an agent, a plumber, electrician, doesn't matter. If you just film the content, they will do tags, titles, descriptions, thumbnails, everything. Just turn it over, edit it, and then get it published for you.
And if you're going to be a plumber out there, here's the name. P-Trap Patrick. P-Trap Paul. That'll run and scale for you. That's all you need. You need the hook, Gino. So, hey, this has been enjoyable. Gino, take us home here, and we'll wrap this baby up.
Young Levi Lashak, I think that's his last name. He said he should have changed it because he didn't know he was going to get to be this big, but that's for another podcast. He's out in Texas,
yep,
18 years old, looking at a lot of cows out there saying, I don't want to be here. I got to get the hell out of here. And he had a
beer on the county line.
He had a partner crime up in Western New York thinking the same thing. So what does he do? He goes and he gets a gym membership, and from the gym membership, he gets into cell phone sales and into pharmaceutical sales, and he's wandering aimlessly.
He sold his soul.
I'm never going to become a real estate agent. Real estate sucks. That ain't going to be for me. And 2020 comes a knocking, and everything changes at 2020. And he says to himself, what are people doing out there? I don't want to get into real estate just to get into real estate and then to figure it out. That was the epiphany. He figured it out. And then he got into real estate. And then from there, he said to himself, what is everybody not doing in real estate? They're all out there doing the old crap, the old sales. Here, I can help you sell this. Instead of going out there building a brand and adding value to other people's lives. So I think the Passive Prospecting book is going to be an awesome read for all of you out there. Start doing things differently. If you're in any business, whether you're a plumber, an electrician, a home inspector, go out there, start a channel. You're probably going to look foolish the first 20 or 30 episodes. That's okay. Go back to Jake and Gino back in 2015. There's some pretty horrific
episodes. You want to cringe? Check those suckers out, right?
And yeah. It's okay, though, that you need to start somewhere. But talk about it with passion. I mean, if you're a plumber and you've been doing it for years, go out there and do it.
Awesome. Man, this has been a lot of fun. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.